Meow. This is the Freedom Fiends. We've hijacked the CIA's orbital mind control laser to beam a pirate signal of protest directly into your frontal cortex. We are here to let you know that you are free. This signal is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that it is reusable, rebroadcastable, re-spliceable, re-editable by anyone except governments. So the CIA should not come looking for this pirate signal because we've rightfully homesteaded their satellite. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good, Dovey. How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Cool.
Having a good day?
Cool. Anything particular on your mind? Anything that's not news-related? No, news is boring. We get too much of that on the hour on radio anyway.
I'm following in Michael Dean's footsteps. You know how he always says that he suffers for art or he suffers for his freedom? Man, I am all kinds of sore. I've been sitting at this desk so long, working at this desk so long, my shoulders are killing me, and it's getting difficult. It's getting difficult to do work here. So I'm either going to need to take a break, which is possible, or I'm going to need to like medicate myself somehow.
Now, when you say medicate yourself somehow, you don't drink, right? So you have to deal with some kind of normal medication.
Drink. Yeah, I'm not sure that alcohol is good for muscle back pain anyway. Like, well, maybe marijuana would be good for pain. But, I was thinking more like Aleve.
If you consume enough alcohol, pretty soon you don't care how much it hurts. That's how people get away with doing things like setting fireworks off the top of their head or going wrestling with alligators or, you know.
You know what, though? That's not a good prescription for being on the radio, though.
Kids, don't do this at home. Oh, man. So, if you didn't have any other topics, we didn't game plan this ahead of time, right?
I got topics.
Aha.
I got topics. Davi, have you gotten the new bigger buttons from Crystal yet?
I haven't. No, I haven't ordered any.
They're so big. I don't know. They're only a half inch bigger, but they look like campaign buttons, man. I like them. I almost think some people are going to want the old ones because they're more subtle, but they are so big. I'll send you a bunch of pictures.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is the voice of
Ben, I want to try something live on the show here since we are a teaching hospital and we're testing something with Fiend Phone. So Ben, go into your Fiend Phone on your computer on your end and click the little blue thing up near where it says about.
Okay, got that.
Burb. I don't know what
turn down the GCN server. Okay, now, so Ben, you got that, right?
I got that.
You click the, so you have extra settings showing now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go under your audio in where it says codec, change it from Opus Talk 2432 to Opus Talk 2416 and then talk.
Yeah. Mine is currently on 2416.
Oh, was it on 2416?
Yeah.
No, we'll put it on 32. Davi only has 32, I think. All right. So there.
24. Okay, there.
Worms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking.
So you do sound better to us now, but that's not affecting what's going to GCN. So,
cool.
Take it back to 2416.
All right.
Because that's lower. There's a new setting on the not yet public Fiend Phone that has three settings instead of two. This is a lower setting. You can pick one direction only and have lower. So you use less bandwidth on compromise, like, you know, like where James Babb is sitting out in the middle of the night in front of a library using their Wi-Fi from his car doing a show. He can use this.
Or when Bill Buford and I are bouncing the 14 satellites, three of which are secret government satellites.
I know. So yours now says Opus Talk 24 hertz, 16 kilobits per second, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. And you still sound good, but you're sending less bandwidth. It's a little less good, but it's not affecting what's going to GCN because it's directional.
Cool.
Davi, do you notice he sounds a little less good now?
Yeah.
but he should sound
different.
More
I don't know if it's worse, yeah, but it's different. But
it doesn't bug you, right? You like it? It's okay, no, Dobby?
It's fine, yeah, for yeah. sure.
And it'll be more solid. I think there'll be less dropouts. So let's go ahead and rock and roll it. I'll just shut up and jump in when I feel like it. I'm slowly getting better. I'm getting down. I'm tapering off these lung steroids the doctor gave me for 3 months, and I have like no energy. But people say my voice sounds better, and I sound less dead, and more alive. So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. All right, have at it. I'm gonna go take button pictures and send them to you guys.
Okay. So, David, did you have anything specific? I've got a topic in the back of my head, but if you have anything,
I just want to plug something.
Go ahead.
So yeah, we did. We've talked about this already, but I just can't rave about how rave enough about how good it was. And we did the Freedom Fiends after show at Porkfest, and it was like a 5-hour after show that we called Dawn of Freedom. And you know, it was not AM radio, and so we kind of cut loose and broke some FCC regulations and things like that. And I don't think that it's up at freedomfiends.com, but it is schoolsucksproject.com. And Brett Vinat, who is both a fiend and host of the School Sucks podcast, has broken it up into parts, and he's sort of releasing it in little tastes. So part two came out, and it's just so good. Like, it's you just have to go and listen to it. It is surreal and weird and intimate and funny, and I can't wait for the whole show to be released. But he's doing it like an hour at a time.
Cool. I have to check that out.
Just go to schoolsucksproject.com. And while you're there, listen to everything else Brad has ever done, because it's all genius.
You know, there's some really good stuff over there at the School Sucks Project, too. Even some of the really yeah. older stuff, if you've just started listening to it, or if you've listened to him and then dropped off, or you have never gone back and heard the old stuff, go back and dig around. There's an old thing over there on the moon, faking the moon landing conspiracy stuff. That is really a fun listen. He really brings some interesting
yeah, for sure.
insight into that. Are you familiar with the show I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I've listened to the whole curriculum from start to finish.
Yeah,
I've definitely heard the moon landing stuff, which is great, and the whole Stanley Kubrick connection and
yeah.
The Shining.
Yeah, exactly.
And its relation to the yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, Brett is sort of he's the perfect flavor of conspiracy theorist for me, because nothing's really true and nothing's really false. It's all just entertaining.
I like that. You know, I like to play around with wild ideas sometimes, but you have to be careful, because sometimes people think you're being serious when really you're just having fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So anything else before I jump into heavy duty stuff?
Nah, hit me.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I found myself explaining this over and over, and my knee-jerk reaction, I'm building up to the, I'm not burying the lead, I'm building up to the lead. So my knee-jerk reaction is just to point at my old website at Bad Quaker and say, go listen. But not everybody has the patience to sit through 3 or 4 hours of podcasts to try to, you know, to get the stuff that's there. And plus, a podcast that I did from like 2 or 3 or 4 years ago is going to have like old advertisement and me talking about business of badquaker.com back in those days, and you know what my daughter's doing or what the, and it's a lot of stuff that people are not really interested in hearing. So the thing that I'm burying is that there are a lot of people that have a misunderstanding as to how we got stuck with having governments, where the state came from, what its origin is. And people tend to fall back on what they've been taught through government schools, which of course is going to favor the government storyline. And that is the old Hobbesian idea that without the government, people just, you know, they bend over like half apes, and they drag their knuckles on the ground, and they attack anybody they see, and they live to steal, and they just feed upon each other, and life is brutish and short and dirty, and people just sit around poking beans up their nose eating worms. And that's kind of the image that the government wants us to believe. That's the Hobbesian idea. And then they want us to believe, Hobbesian and all the pro-statists, they want us to believe that magically the heavens opened and God, you know, in his greatness, lowered down to earth government. And all of a sudden, you know, we were all clean and we lived in houses and we ate civilized food with forks and knives and we stopped smearing
all
mud.
All of a sudden, the people sticking beans. All the people sticking beans up their nose had jobs counting beans.
Yeah, exactly. And this is such a nonsensical thing, but people believe it. They believe that, like, man just couldn't get along with each other. They just were, every time one human or one family of humans would see another human or another family of humans, they would immediately fall upon each other and start bashing each other with rocks. And it's so nonsensical. It's nothing like how humans actually interact. And the funny thing is, if you get out in the woods, or you get out into way out in the middle of the desert, or you get away from all governmental authorities and structures, and you get where the ambulance can't get to you, and there's no police, and there's no any of these services that we're accustomed to having from government, and people are incredibly civil. They're really kind. They're really helpful with one another, because that's the true nature of humans. And if you really want to see what humans are like, go way out into where remote hikers are, and you will find some of the kindest people, people totally unlikely to steal a thing from you, but entirely likely to share things with you. And this is why...
Well, it's because they also know that they know if you're out in the boonies, you know that anyone you meet is a person just like you and not a tax collector or a police officer or something. So yeah, you can take your guard down a little.
Yeah, that's very true. There's a book that was originally written in German under the name Das Staat, and it was translated into English as The State by Franz Oppenheimer. Are you familiar with this wonderful work of?
No, I'm not.
It is really...
Wait, is the guy who invented the
news to me.
The nuclear bomb?
Similar name, but different guy.
Okay.
Different guy. And similar time frame. Franz Oppenheimer was slightly older than... I can't remember the Oppenheimer that did the bomb. What's his first name?
Friedrich. No, I have no idea.
It could be. But I think there's a slight spelling variation between the two names also. But Oppenheimer said, essentially,
J. Robert.
Oh, that's right.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Robert Oppenheimer.
Way
off. Yeah.
That's what I get for making things up.
But Franz Oppenheimer said, essentially, every single government that we have real knowledge of how it started with one group of people attacking another group of people and then dominating them. And that's the origin of government. That's the true origin of government. We're going to run away to the market for a moment. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Back.
Meow.
There's Michael again.
Are you not a meower, Ben?
I don't feel comfortable meowing. If I could figure out what sound a possum makes, I would do that.
I think they just hiss.
They grumble a lot. I have heard them grumble and hiss and kind of just act angry.
Yeah.
I wonder what they sound like normally, though, like when they chatter to each other. I've never heard that. I've even searched the internet looking for that and haven't found a recording of it.
I don't know.
Have you seen...
It's all right. We don't all have to meow.
Have you seen...
Takes all kinds.
Have you seen the YouTube video of the talking porcupine?
No.
It's hilarious.
What's he talk about?
It's at some zoo, and some lady is messing with him. and she's handing him food, and then he's grumbling about it, and she tries to take it away, and it sounds like he's saying, "Mine, mine." I mean, you know, it's just your mind making it sound that way, but it really sounds like he's saying that. Yeah, so anyway, back to what I was talking about before the break. I find this so often that people who call themselves libertarians, and many people even who call themselves anarchists or ANCAPs or different variations of this kind of thinking, will try to tell me that, you know, humans have to overcome human nature in order for anarchy to work because, you know, human nature is what got us to having a state. And I always have to, you know, I grit my teeth and I try to keep a good attitude, but I always have to try to take them back to the basics. No, that is the very first lie that you're taught by the government. And until you can, you know, it's like if you're going to bake a cake.
That's original sin. That's what that is.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going
to. Somebody has to come and sacrifice and save you from the original sin, which was committed by your ancestors or someone somewhere besides you that you're guilty of. That's what that is.
Which is collectivism, by the way. And
And the answer, we have an answer. We have a solution, and it's libertarian ISIS. Have you guys heard the word of libertarian ISIS yet?
I heard you guys heard talking about news, that. Yeah.
It's really bad news. It's a joke, but it's. I was like, well, you know, what if there were one of those? You know, nothing to do with, you know, Middle Eastern religion. You know, back to the Stone Age. You know, nothing to do with that brand of any religion. It's more the organizational capacity of, like, you know, these guys with camels and AKs have basically taken over half of two countries, right? And and then I was thinking about, like, you know, you've had the IRA in Northern Ireland. You had the Bader Meinhof RAF, Red Army faction in Germany in the 70s and 80s. And it was like, I'm not advocating for violence. Just a thought experiment of, like, you know, I mean, what if there were roaming bands of people who were willing to die, who were just like, hey, when we see tyranny, we're going to stop it. What would happen?
We're going to throw our body into the gears of tyranny.
Yes. You know, like, take every ridiculous, you know, freedom fighter fighting for communism that you've ever heard and just substitute the word, you know, liberty for socialism or communism. And, like, how would that play out? And we're just calling it libertarian ISIS because it just scares the hell out of normal people.
Well, I've heard anarcho-communists speculate that the way that you do away with police in an anarchist society is that there is essentially a clandestine secret police, and, like, people who break the communist ideal, they just die. They just disappear.
Well,
and you have, like, a volunteer Gestapo.
I mean, like, that kind of happened.
Recommended
that
this.
Happened. That happened in that happened with the IRA in
it's kind of what Ireland. Anonymous is.
Yeah, except they're not armed. They're armed with pixels and digits.
Yep.
The most damage they can do is take, like, your website Anonymous, down for the day.
You know, like, they can do a little more than that. But what if Anonymous, you know, were completely anarcho-capitalist and had guns and were willing to die?
It's an interesting thought experiment.
That would be pretty chaotic.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm not recommending this. I want to live forever peacefully, but, you know.
In a variation, there are kind of libertarians who think that way. Like, you know, the old saying is libertarians, they want to take over and leave you alone. But there is kind of a brand of libertarians who have, they even call themselves things like libertarian republic and libertarian this and libertarian that. And their idea is to have, they have, their, you know, utopia would be a libertarian government. And they would still be doing all the government things. They would just have this different label on it.
Nah, no government, man.
Worms.
More marketry.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
So during the break, I said rats. This is a good opportunity to mention a really great little booklet called Rats. Do you remember Do you remember what the website is for that?
Rats-nosnitch.com.
There you go. That's a good little...
Rats-nosnitch.com.
It's always good to bring that up now and then.
Yeah, and it's a book on how to spot infiltrators in your peaceful organization. And a lot of it boils... And it's got a lot of good experience. And it's by Claire Wolf and friends. And it's, you know... Got experience of people going back to the 70s who've been rabble rousers. And, you know, basically what it says is the cop is probably the guy calling for violence in your peaceful organization. Like, you know, the guy who's saying, wouldn't it be interesting if there was something called libertarian ISIS? You know, that guy.
Yeah, right.
It's not me, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're not after that. We're not after violence. That's not our bag.
Just AK-47s, and you say, hey, how about we roam around with AK-47s and throw ourselves into the gears of tyranny?
When you come to what?
I think that's when
you come to what, Dobby?
I think that's when you become suspicious, is when you come to us with the AK-47s and say, hey, how about if it's us?
Well, everyone we know has an AK-47, but they all claim to be peaceful, right?
I don't have an AK-47.
Yeah, but I don't know. You drew a nice one on this button for me. Looks pretty good.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well,
you make the propaganda.
That's almost as bad.
In modern
America, zero tolerance laws in public schools are any indication, that's just as bad.
It is. It is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So,
so where are we going?
I don't know. Did I finish that rant about how the state did not originate in some benevolent fashion?
I interrupted you and started talking about libertarian ISIS, so I'll stop. Okay. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing about the whole theory, like the whole theory of government, that like one day people realize that if they got together and cooperated and they formed some infrastructure that they could blah, 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 blah. It's so anti-empirical, right? Like, we've seen states come about in the modern world, and it is always through a violent coup or a warlord or like,
yeah,
we've seen how this happens. It's always by theft and genocide. So I don't know why people imagine there's this past where, like, the state came about peacefully.
Who imagines that other than statists?
That's textbooks.
Yeah, that's basically, as soon, and even libertarians, as soon as you start talking to them about the origin of the state, that's what they try to tell you, that that's how it originated. And I always fall back on, look, didn't you read Rothbard? Didn't you read, you know, and I have like this list that starts coming out of my mouth. And then I realize I'm that libertarian guy that's, you know, rattling off 26 different books for people to read before they can get the basics.
Yep. Yep.
There you go. Does this tie into Jericho, Ben? I know you talk about Jericho as the first state. But I don't know how that came about.
I tried to use that as an example because that's a really easy, an easy one to look at. When Jericho first organized as a government, the first evidence that we had, the first hard physical evidence, not stories or imagination or anything like that, the first hard physical evidence of any government anywhere is an ancient wall at Jericho. And then after that, there was one found in the city of Ur, which is kind of south of Jericho. And then it kind of cropped up in several other places. But the oldest one that we absolutely know of was at Jericho. Now, here's the thing. There were plenty of settlements that were thousands and tens of thousands of years older than Jericho. And the reason that we know that there was no government there is that there was no central defensive structure that was only big enough to house a very few. So if you have like a civilization that lived in Northern Ireland or off in China or wherever, and they found these all over the place that that had maybe hundreds or maybe 1,000 occupants, and they might have defensive structures like a moat or an outer fence or whatever, but the defensive structure was large enough to defend all of the occupants of the civilization that was there. But Jericho's the first time that we see the defensive structure only big enough to house the elite. And in the case of Jericho, you could only fit about 25 to 50 people in there when the surrounding countryside housed thousands. So you know that the defensive structure was not to defend the whole community from the outside. The defensive structure was to defend a small group of elites from whoever might threaten them. And who might threaten them is probably the people that they're ruling over. Which means...
Yeah, you've got to keep the rabble out.
Yeah, exactly. So, like Oppenheimer...
Because you can always get more rabble. I mean, like, if your peasants die, you just go over to your neighbor and steal theirs.
Sure.
And you know, the new Fiends Muttons are big enough to defend and act as shields for the Fiends elite. Which you become by buying these Fiends Muttons.
They're like bulletproof or something?
They're shields, man. They could cover your heart.
Wasn't it Jim Babb that talked about that at Borkfest, making them like trash can lid size?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Brett Vinat wants a button home. Yeah. Did you hear that conversation?
Oh, that was Brett. Yeah,
you have landscapers come put them on the side of a house and of a hill. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty good show. Button that conversation.
Home. Yep.
Yeah.
So
I definitely think they could be effective sort of apartments. Like you could make a little false back on the back of your button and fit something in there.
I just sent you. If it was big check enough. Your email, guys. I sent you the pictures of the old buttons versus new buttons, so you can see the size.
Checking our email on the radio. That's good. That's radio. Fiends,
I like it. I'm a fan.
Oh wow!
The buttons or checking email and
the buttons.
No, the new button size. I like big buttons.
And you cannot lie.
Cool.
I like big buttons and I cannot lie.
Terrible, terrible humor. We can do better than that. Evidently, I can get printer ink saved 85% off if I just give them my... I'm looking at my email. If
Stop.
I just give them my
Stop.
Personal...
Go back to the state. Talk about Jericho. So why is that really cool show that was on TV called Jericho? Because they're starting over with the new first civilization after the nuclear war?
I don't know what their motivation. Did you ever see
it? I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
It's a great, great show. I watched all two seasons probably three or four times. It's like it was on NBC. It was mainstream TV. It was well done. It was kind of like I almost wonder if people who worked on it worked on what's your zombie movie show you like, Dobby?
Walking Dead.
I want to say Evil Dead. Walking Dead. Yeah, it is a similar like production feel to Walking Dead, but it's basically, you know, like some kind of government extra, you know, like Blackwater type organization sets off like 10 nuclear devices around America and kills like 80% of the people so they can take over the country and run it themselves, this corporation, you know, that was like Blackwater. Weird. It was like, yeah. And it's basically like a prepper's wet dream. Like the people who survive are the people who can forage and cooperate and hunt and protect, you know, and the people who die are the people who panic and say, my iPad's not working. It's horrible, you know.
Possibly their motivation in calling it Jericho was that there's evidence that Jericho was destroyed over and over and over and rebuilt and destroyed, rebuilt and destroyed.
The fictitious town that takes place is Jericho, Kansas. But you know, why did they pick that for the town and the name? I think Ben's right.
And actually, that works with my theory, not mine. It's Oppenheimer's and Rothbard and a lot of other people that the state is such a horrible thing that every time people get the opportunity, they destroy it, and then of course, you know, the thugs come back and rebuild it again. Many of the times the actual city of Jericho has been destroyed, it was a combination of earthquakes and fire. But if, you know, if you have, theoretically, if you have a group of thieves who've gotten tired of being road thieves and they've settled down in one spot and built a tower to hide in as they rob the valley, if an earthquake hits that and knocks it down, the opportunity is going to be there for the people in the valley to swarm in, kill the elites, and burn their structure. So it, in that sense, it fits my theory that Jericho was that, not a voluntary city, but a city, you know, governed by rulers who rained their terror down upon the community in order to profit themselves. That fits my scenario, because every time there would be an earthquake, rather than the people of the surrounding civilization rushing in to help, they rush in and loot the place and burn it, which more or less fits the what you see in the archaeological story that's there.
It seems like you would have to have some sort of like mental colonization too, because if all of your elites were holed up in a tower, it seems like it'd be very easy to surround them and starve them.
Well, they had a pretty good source of water back in those days. It's today it's all desert and it's pretty arid, but back then it was a very lush environment, a lot of rain, and so it would have been easy to they would have had a source of water. And of course, they had all the, you know, the taxes being grain at the time. That was the form of taxation. But on the other hand, you know, if here's the thing with the thieves: if you never take everything, if you always leave enough for the farmers to live, you only take enough to wet your beak, so to speak, and then you can convince them of this myth that you know, without us here, the state on the other side of the hill would come over here and rob you guys. And so we're providing you with this service. And so you have to convince, it takes more than one generation, but you have to convince them that you have to have the state. Otherwise, the evil, you know, the people on the other side of that evil border over there, those guys, that's the real problem. As bad as we are here as your masters, those guys would be even worse. You wouldn't believe the horrible things they do to their subjects.
That's kind of what I mean by mental colonization. Like, it requires you to get them to adopt a fallacious idea so as not to protest you or resist you.
In the case of Jericho specifically, the main tool of that was the god Tammuz, because Tammuz did a few things. For example, Tammuz was the great-great-grandfather or whatever of the king. So the king is a descendant of Tammuz, and Tammuz was a half-god. So that gives the king divine authority. Tammuz blesses the harvest. He was originally a shepherd god, but eventually he became the god of bread and grains. So if you pray to Tammuz and give your grain as a sacrifice to Tammuz tax, then he will, you know, the next year you'll have a good harvest again. So it was kind of wrapped up in this whole mythology about Tammuz, which also he died for your sins as a part of the theology of Tammuz.
Original sin, you don't say.
I know, shocking, right?
Worms.
Stick with us. We're going to be right back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Davi is singing a song about Chairman Mao. Did you hear him?
Yeah. Meow. There you go.
Chairman Mao killed more people than Hitler.
Maybe this is why we need libertarian indulgences, so that people can get over their libertarian original sin.
Yeah.
And they could go start libertarian ISIS, and they, even though they'd be like violating the non-aggression principle nonstop.
But we need some sort of a saved sect doctrine where it's like it's not aggression when they do it.
Well, I mean, yeah, the usual argument, like, you know, the Cantwell argument would be like, well, it's self-defense, even though it's preemptive by weeks or months or years. But I don't know. I mean, I don't not buy that. I just think it's kind of square and old. I want a better, sexier, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if I were a corrupt libertarian theologian, I think the doctrine that I would come up with is that the belief in the state, to subscribe to the superstition of the state is itself an act of aggression. It's constant aggression, not because it's an actual act of violence, but because it is the threat of violence, and the threat of violence is also an act of aggression, and therefore anybody who does not subscribe to our ideas is an open target.
But I don't see libertarian ISIS as going after the postman. I see him going after the drug warriors that like give out press releases about how they took down all these innocent people. And the, you know, I don't know. I'm going to shut up before I get my door kicked in.
Yeah, anything for the CIA wiretaps, anything immoral, illegal, or fattening should actually be interpreted to mean satire of its opposite.
There you go. All right. I'm going to go sell buttons. You guys talk.
I need to record that phrase. Say it one more time so I can get it in my head, Dubby.
For the CIA wiretaps, anything we advocate which is illegal, immoral, or fattening should be interpreted to be satire meaning its opposite.
Yeah, I need to get maybe a shirt that says that, and I definitely I've spent my whole life and not gotten tattoos, but I'm thinking that would be a good tattoo to have.
Maybe it should be for the central scrutinizers instead of for the CIA.
Yeah, the NSA is
whatever.
NSA is far more likely to be listening than the CIA. They have better things to do.
I came up with that before people admitted the NSA existed. That's why I used to say CIA.
You know, how sick is that? I remember, you know, not that long ago trying to explain to people about the NSA and about how all these things work. And people would honestly, close to me, relatives, people that I knew, would tell me that I am really off my rocker, that there's no way the government
is doing that stuff. The NSA wanted people to think that too. You know, that the internal jokey name for the NSA had for itself was no such agency.
Yeah.
No such agency.
I mean, basically, basically the men in the men in black in the show Men in Black, aren't they supposed to be the NSA? They're called something else, but yeah.
Yeah.
Or are they called no such agency?
No, they're called MIB. They're called Men in Black, and it's MIB. But that phrase, Men in Black, that was sort of like conspiracy theorist. It was like rhetoric to cast people who believed in the Men in Black in a sort of suspicious or ludicrous light. And they were talking about the NSA. They were talking about like nefarious government agencies that were out doing things. It's like black helicopters, right? Like if you used to believe in black helicopters, you were crazy. Now we believe in surveillance drones. So
yeah.
It's weird though, because almost all the stuff that was crazy, lunatic, over the top conspiracy theory, you know, back just a few years ago, has come out through Snowden's releases and through Manning's releases, and it turns out all true. It's like we couldn't even make up stuff this crazy, and now here it is. It's true.
Yeah, conspiracy theorists just have the audacity to be ahead of their time. That's all.
Yeah. Well, the thing is too, and all the people that said we were crazy for saying the government is spying on every phone call and every email and archiving every one of them. You know, the people that said we're crazy for that, now that it's fact, they say, oh, well, if you care, you're crazy. And Snowden is needs to be hung for whatever it is. What is it called?
Treason? Is it treason?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's collaborating hung with the enemy, meaning the American people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the enemy of the government. The government definitely thinks we're the enemy.
That's sad, but true. It's sad, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no what do you call it? Debriefing. Like, when you discover a conspiracy theory is correct, the deniers should sort of go, I think maybe I should reevaluate my whole process of determining what I think is true. They should go back and say, like, why did I think this wasn't true? What else did I think wasn't true that maybe, like, what do they call it? A memoriam? I don't know. The point is, question everything. That's what I'm saying.
Question everything. We're going to break. There's going to be news. Don't let it upset you, though, because we'll be right back with more fiends.
Worms.
Worms.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live from the amygdala of liberty. We activate your mirror neurons with the spooky sounds of a serotonin splash at a distance. Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Cool.
Did you know that the word conspiracy theorist was actually devised to discredit people who engaged in conspiracy
theory? That's a conspiracy theory.
It is actually... Yes. I've seen the documents.
It was the CIA, wasn't it?
The CIA. The MIB, the NSA,
No such man in black.
The Uber agency, they got together with their psychologists and they tried to come up with a term that was... It was a psyop, man. Conspiracy theory is a psyop. And so I think we should have a term for people who deny conspiracy theorists.
Conspiracy
maybe sheeple is the term.
Deniers.
Apologists.
Conspiracy deniers. Conspiracy apologists.
Yeah.
There you go. I think maybe conspiracy deniers, like before it's revealed, like the people who used to say that the NSA didn't exist.
Right.
And then conspiracy apologists are the people after it's revealed.
Lucy,
and they're like, yeah, it exists, but what do you have to hide?
Yeah. What do you have to hide?
If you're not doing anything wrong, well, hey, if you're not doing anything wrong, why are you wearing clothes? Do you have something to hide? What's the matter?
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to keep things private. Have you heard of this?
Oh, I don't know if that's true, that conspiracy theorist was a psyop, but it sure seems like it.
Oh, well, it was.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's true.
This was after the Kennedy assassination, and there were a lot of people that were just looking at the official storyline going, man, this thing's full of holes. And so in order to quiet them down, and the words existed prior to that, you know, there was the idea of conspiracy theory is as old as the English language or older, but to actually use it to label people with was a thing that the CIA did. There's documentation to show that they said anybody who tries to say that Kennedy was killed by some kind of conspiracy, let's label them conspiracy theory and put them down in the media.
It's like it's kind of like unindicted co-conspirator. It's like a collection of words that aren't technically false, but they just sound so nefarious that people stop thinking.
And it's odd, too. You know, if truth is a thing, who was it? Augustus, I think, that said that the truth is like a lion. You don't need to defend it. You just need to set it free. And that's the thing about truth. Like, okay, let's get into a wild conspiracy theory about John F. Kennedy getting killed, the way he got killed. Well, if it's the truth, why do you need to defend it? Why do you need to build up walls around your story? Why do you need to, you know, hide the papers for 100 years or whatever it is? Why do you need to hide all the documentation for generations? If it's the truth, set it free, and it'll defend itself.
Sure. It'll stand up to scrutiny and peer review.
Yeah, and you don't even you can apply that to anything. Martin Luther King's death, you can apply it to, you know, all the crazy thoughts.
Malcolm X's death,
sure. 9/11, you know, different airplanes that have disappeared or crashed or whatever. Just if you just release the information and let people come to their own conclusion. And there's going to be, and in any situation, there's going to be loons out there who are going to blame it on the moon men or whatever. But you're not going to quiet them by trying to quiet them. Actually, you'll only encourage them by trying to quiet them because you proved, you know, that there's something to hide.
Well, see, the thing is, Ben, that what you don't understand is the government version, the official story, can't be peer-reviewed because the government has no peers, Ben.
I've said that about me. I cannot be peer-reviewed.
No, that's also why you can't ever accuse. That's why they have sovereign immunity, because you can't form a jury of their peers.
Isn't that what war is? Isn't that when a jury of the peers decides a jury of their execution peers. And so they go to war, except they expect us to fight it for them. All right, so yeah. I had a topic in the first hour, Davi. Go.
I gotta have come up with a topic like right now. I don't know.
How about the new ruling that it's illegal to store your legally owned gun in your car while you're parked at the post office?
Wow.
That just passed. So, yeah. So, and the gun-grabbing judge who's called in the Wyoming Gun Owners Association newsletter, they call this guy the dishonorable Gregory Phillips from Wyoming, who was appointed by the gun-grabbing Republican who ran, Matt Mead, the governor of Wyoming, who ran as a, like, the only platform he ran on was, I will respect your gun rights. Nima Vedati and I possibly accidentally helped him get elected by doing a news piece on the statewide news channel TV that Nima was working on. And it made him, you know, we invited all of the candidates to come down and shoot and talk about guns. And he was the one who really kind of stood out. And he was like, hey, I love guns. I hate Obama. Obama's going to take your guns. But now that he's governor, he's very into Common Core. He's very into the Obamacares. And he's very into apparently appointing judges that will make it illegal to bring your... So basically, like, you know, you can't bring your gun into the post office, so now you're going to have to park even further away and walk, I guess, you know, to, like, be compliant, you know, and, like, rural customers. See, in Wyoming, they've closed a lot of post offices. There's people who have to drive, like, 50 miles to go to the post office, so they're going to have to either leave their gun home or break the law or park blocks away where it's out of sight, where someone could break into their... It's basically like the government wants to increase the places where they have the guns and you don't. And, you know, screw you if your gun gets stolen. That's your problem.
Wow.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's essentially reducing firearms to a paperweight. You're not going to be allowed to have them in any of the places where they might be useful.
And you won't be allowed to
buy ammo. I mean, that's kind of the thing, I think, is like they can technically still say... You have the right to own a gun in America. It's in the Constitution, and we respect it. And it's like, you know, but when that gun has to be, you know, kept at home in a locked box, separate from the
ammo. No, it's
got to
be melted into its base elements.
Nah. That's North Korea. I think they're going to make, you know, federal laws are going to be like California laws is what they're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so dishonorable. Sad. I like that line for a judge. And not going to say anything about libertarian ISIS because it doesn't exist. And I don't want my door kicked in by goons because I made a joke on the radio. But hey, man, this show's on the radio in Casper and Sundance, Wyoming on the weekend.
I hear they target people for drawing offensive Rothbard cartoons.
Now that is comedy gold right there. That is comedy gold.
Except now you have to explain who Rothbard is for most of the listening audience. Go ahead.
Who is Roth? He's an author. He's a thinker. He's a philosopher. He's an economist.
A libertarian.
He's
a old man.
Yeah,
he's dead.
He's one of the bearded progenitors of libertarianism.
Except he didn't have a beard.
He didn't have a beard?
No.
What's with that guy? Talk about anti conformity. He should have grown a beard.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those, you know, that was the 40s. That was, you know, the 40s and the 50s, all the academics. If you had a beard, you were a radical leftist. And so only radical leftist professors had beards in the 50s and the 60s. So he was all clean cut and looking all, you know, right wing and everything. He tried a lot of times to appeal to the right wing, though, and I think that was maybe the greatest mistake Rothbard ever did. That's not
picking. This is funny. In this, I'm looking at this thing about Matt Mead, the governor of Wyoming, and it's got like a before and after picture of him, like when he was running for office, and now that he's in office, and it's really accurate. And I think that the before picture is a screenshot from when Nima and I went shooting with him. And it's like before the Marlboro man, after the progressive lawyer. And it really looks like, you know, he's got in the before when he's running for office, he's got a cowboy hat on, a work shirt, and he looks rugged. And then like after he's got elected, he looks like a progressive lawyer out to take your guns away, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lawyer down here in Alabama that has an ad where it shows him holding a .30-06 rifle and a little deer like off in the distance. And he says, I won't, how does he say that? I don't worry about the small doe. I'll get you the big bucks. And then a big deer pops up and he shoots it. It's a pretty funny commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got to trust a lawyer with a
I'm
gun.
Shocked Rothbard doesn't have a beard.
Yeah.
I swear I've seen or him with a beard.
No bow tie either.
He wasn't a gun person.
He does
person
a bow tie
really
sometimes.
Have you seen the, you know what Anarchy Ball is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm a
it's
fan
a cartoon.
Of it. You got to check
like,
it out, Dobby.
You've seen him, I'm sure, Dobby. It's a meme.
Oh, yeah, I know
like
these guys.
Cartoons that there's a yellow and black one, an ANCAP one, and then a yellow and red one, the ANCOM one, and they argue, and the ANCAP one is always right, and the communist one is always wrong. You can buy those, and they have different designs. And I don't think you can buy COM ones, but you can buy the ANCAP ones. And there's three models of plushies, and cool. They're like, you know, a little bigger than a football. There's like the normal one, and then there's the Tucker, which is the normal one with a bow tie. And then there's like Lady Anarchy Ball, and they just like move the bow tie up onto her head so it looks like a ribbon in her hair.
Just turn it upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. I should pop over to Twitter and tell Anarchy Ball we're talking about him on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely got to do that.
Yeah, I've heard of these comics. I didn't know that was what it was called, though, Anarchy Ball. That's cool. And they do American flag ones and UN flag ones and feminist ones. They're all sort of funny philosophical comic strips.
I didn't hear the whole story, but there was like a full day that Twitter blocked Anarchy Ball from getting on their side or connecting with anybody or anything. I think it was just a mess up, but there was a lot of screaming and gnashing of teeth over it the day that that happened.
Censorship.
Yeah. Got to set the Twitters free.
I kind of want to make some offensive Rothbard cartoons now.
Yeah.
Yeah, go over that again.
Put a stick of dynamite in his bow tie.
So it's offensive to the regular ISIS, to the ones in the Middle East, if you draw a picture of the Prophet Muhammad. So this libertarian ISIS that doesn't exist that we're imagining for a thought experiment, if someone draws Rothbard, then you have to burn their studio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to what?
No burning.
Wait.
They get droned. That's what happens.
Yes. My libertarian drones.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
pouring molten truth down your ear hole.
Ouch.
Hey, there you go. So much truth it hurts. If it's not,
it's
if
the
it
only
doesn't
treatment for ear Ebola.
If it doesn't hurt, the truth is not hot enough. Yeah. So, hey, did we introduce ourselves this hour? I'm Ben Stone.
We didn't do it the first hour either.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If they're cool enough, they'll know
who
we
are. I'm Michael Dean.
If you don't know who we're...
I'm Davi. Yeah, they should know already.
If you don't know who we are, you're just not cool enough.
It doesn't really matter. We're the Freedom Fiends Collective. It's an anti-communist collective. We like to sell things and keep the money.
I don't know what it should stand for, but I think the Libertarian ISIS should be called Us-Us.
Us-Us.
I don't know. I don't know why. Just
Mimi.
Yeah. Is you you.
Mimi.
like your grandmother, Mimi.
Yeah. Well, it would be meme.
Meme.
Well, Isis is the name of an ancient pagan deity, right?
Pagan?
Yeah. You'd think they would have. They should have focus grouped that.
Well, they changed it to ISIL and then is. Yeah. It sounds really hippie, too.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're called Is.
Do they really call themselves any of those things, or are those all just media inventions and CIA propaganda?
I think
propaganda?
They are calling themselves... No, they call themselves the Islamic State in that documentary by Vice Magazine. That's the name that people in it are using. They don't use Is or anything. They just call it the Islamic State. In English, they call it that.
You know, another...
There's an Arabic translation, too, that's probably more common. But, yeah, that is what they call themselves in English.
Yeah.
Another comparison of the mafia to the government is, just like the mafia, governments will allow new governments to crop up if they have the blessing of the committee of the five families or whatever. And it's very much like the mafia. The mafia won't just let you go into a town and create your own mafia. If they find out you've done that, they will send people and keep you from doing that. But if you come to them and you get their blessing, then you can be part of them and expand out and start your own mafia as long as it's, under their watchful eye and sending back some tribute to them. And governments are exactly
this is
like
why
that.
You get Palestinians kind of groveling in the UN for recognition of a state, right? Like, it's only a state if other states acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking the other day about that, the Bader-Meinhof syndrome, or Bader-Meinhof group, the terror group in Germany in the 70s, and that they went to Jordan for training, and the Jordanians that they were training with, threw them out because they were, having premarital sex and smoking dope, and they were like, that's not what we do. I forgot the name of the organization. It was the PLO. Palestinian Liberation Army. Yeah,
oh, okay.
The German long-haired hippies went to go get AK-47 training from the PLO. And the PLO, after a week, were like, you guys got to quit screwing and smoking dope and get out of here, man. That's not kosher or haram or what is it? What's the term? I don't know.
Halal?
Halal, yeah. It was not halal.
Well, they're not Muslims. They're just there to learn how to fire an AK-47
and
crawl around on the ground
and sex. I know. Yeah.
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 Oh wow! You still can't do that around religious nuts, though. It's not. It doesn't matter what flavor of religious nut. You just can't be doing that kind of stuff around them.
Although Christians just get mad and try to legislate.
Wouldn't it be fun if that was the opposite? Like if you had some sort of like pagan fundamentalist or hedonism fundamentalist that was like, man, you don't sleep around and smoke pot and
you're
like, what is wrong with you?
With your own wife. We're getting rid of you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Christians at times have gotten
then they would
violent.
Collide like antimatter.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, Ben? Ben, what?
Christians at times have gotten pretty violent about that type of thing.
Yeah, they have.
At one time,
well, it's the Scarlet Letter, right? I guess that's not really violent, but it's didn't pan out well for everyone involved.
That's just a story, though. In a real case, in the situation with the Mormons, every time they moved someplace, the local Christians got so mad at them because they had multiple wives that they would start shooting at them, and they'd end up having to move someplace else and get shot at someplace else until they eventually had to move where there was nobody who could shoot at them.
and they still don't have lots of wives. It's basically all of the original groups that were in America or came to America, like the Native Americans and then the Mormons. Like, the U.S. government killed all the ones that had any fight, you know?
Yeah.
So the ones you got left are the ones that are willing to compromise. Yeah.
Worms!
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiend Phone, I never knew remote audio could be this good. Meow, 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 meow.
Michael bailed on us.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. Michael got droned. Michael, he got picked up by no such agent.
They just showed up and whisked him away. Yep. Oh, man. So, where were we going? And
that's why we don't talk about libertarian ISIS.
Yeah. The first rule of libertarian ISIS. Don't talk about libertarian ISIS.
Yep.
Did we have any particular direction today, or are we just wandering around in the woods?
No, I'm a nondescript blob of nothing in particular. Do you know that in Fight Club, that's sort of famous, right? The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Right.
That was not in the script. That was Brad Pitt forgetting his line and doubling down.
Really?
Yeah.
So they had actual rules and he couldn't remember them, so he just spouted that off.
Yeah. Well, I think the first rule was you do not talk about Fight Club, but that wasn't the second rule. He just sort of like, sometimes you just commit, right? Like, the play, the rehearsal must go on or whatever. You're there, you're recording, time's expensive. Put something on film.
Well, it works. I mean, it makes a good scene.
Yeah. It's one of the most sort of iconic lines of the film. I always wonder how much that happens in films, that like the accident happens and it's just better.
Well, how familiar are you with Marx Brothers films?
Not very.
They were a combination of two things. They were a combination of spontaneous activity that's unscripted. They would have a rough idea of what they wanted to do with the movie, and then they would just, it was just lunatics going crazy doing what they did all the time. That's one side of it. But the other side of it was, as they were spontaneously coming up with stuff, they would just stop everything and go back and repeat it exactly like it was before and work on the spontaneity. So it was spontaneous. It was improv. And yet they would just take whatever improvised and whatever spontaneously erupted and refine it over and over and over until they would get perfect takes of their spontaneity. Does that make sense?
So they're like working on the timing of a spontaneous line? Is that the idea?
Yeah, pretty much. They would start working on the basic show of what the movie is going to be like and taping it. And as funny lines would appear naturally in their conversation, they would stop and retake it and make sure they hit that, the, you know, all the proper marks to make that line timed perfect. So, for instance, there's the...
I wonder how common that is. Like, I wonder if Monty Python did that.
I don't know. I don't know about Monty Python. I know the one of the directors, I think, that, or maybe a producer, somebody who was involved in the filming in the Marx Brothers, made that statement like in the 1950s that the hardest thing he ever did was working with the Marx Brothers because they paid no attention to direction at all. They had their own thing. That's how they worked it out. And he could have, you know, he had no influence on it. All he could do is just try to keep them all in the same room at the same time, which was quite a feat.
cool. It worked.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like at some point the handlers need to go, all right, they're going to do their thing. Obviously, they know better than we do what they are. So
they have some pretty good routines, though. The famous one where Groucho is in his night shirt with his night hat, and he's walking through the house, and his, I think it's Harpo, is on the other side of a doorway, and it makes it look like, and he's dressed like Groucho, and so it makes it look like a mirror, and they do a whole mirror routine, and then that's been echoed out and copied by, you know, like first Lucy on the Lucy Show, and then a lot of people have copied that routine. But that's one of those things that they did spontaneously, and then once they did it one time, then they worked on it over and over and over until they got every move of it exactly the way that they wanted it.
Well, that's cool.
And you're probably,
I mean, that is to some extent what all comedians do in a way, because, I mean, it's kind of taboo to record a comedian at a stand-up club because he's going to run that same routine over and over and over again. And every time that he runs that routine in various clubs and things, he's sort of perfecting what happened spontaneously from the night before. And so when it gets to the like huge auditorium style comedy shows, he's like perfected all of these jokes dozens of times in front of smaller audiences.
Taking it back to the Liberty world, there are, I'm not going to be rude and name names, but there are individuals in the Liberty, making the Liberty rounds, that do exactly that. Mm-hmm. They go to one event, they give a very specific speech, they go to the next event, and they give the exact word-for-word same speech, and then they go to another event, and they do the exact, and I'm not saying this is bad, but I'm saying that if you find yourself at two or three following along with two or three Liberty events in a row with the same people, it kind of messes it up for you because you can't go see that really cool person that you saw at the last one because they're going to say the exact same thing they said at the one before.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Or they'll sort of rehash things. They'll take segments of one speech and put it into another when the topic is similar.
The funner ones are like that. I guess I'm the odd one out on that because I always, you know, write each thing for itself and try not to go back. I assume, and maybe that's my flaw. I assume that people have already heard the other stuff I've done, so I don't go back and rehash it over and over again. Plus, it's boring to me because I've already talked about it.
Yeah, I've heard it before.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is like, when I was being asked to come and speak at things a lot, I don't really get these requests so much anymore, but the topic was always, do you want to come and speak about Bitcoin and charity? And I'm like, okay, I've done this, you know, three times now. I'm done. I want to talk about something else. And sometimes I would propose something else and they'd bite, and sometimes I'd propose something else and they'd be like, nah, we're not going to return your emails. But like, yeah, it's boring for me. Like, I need to keep it interesting for me. My whole life is a rough draft, you know?
I think people like that, though. They want to know that Davi is the Bitcoin charity guy, you know, so they can pull him. It's like you have a deck of cards and you need an ace, king, queen, jack, and a 10. So Davi, or okay, there's the jack. He's the Bitcoin charity guy. Now we need a IP guy. Okay, we got that guy. Now we need a anti-cop guy. Okay, we got that one. And then we fill out our hand for this Liberty event, and they want you to be like that because they can design the Liberty event the way that they want rather than just letting it organically pop up, not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah, nothing spontaneous, nothing unexpected.
Yeah, we have to centrally plan this stuff. We can't have spontaneity. What? No.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, there are definitely people who are sort of pigeonholed into a particular topic, and that's just what they do. And like every time they speak, it's going to be on, I don't know, intellectual property or peaceful parenting or whatever. But I would get really bored doing that. Like I even in my own life, I don't focus on one topic for more than a few months and then move on. So
yeah,
I'm always doing something new.
Maybe that, you know, maybe. Maybe you would build, I'm talking to you, but me at the same time, maybe we would build ourselves giant, libertarian empires that we could sit in our, you know, gilded castles in Canada and dictate upon everybody. If only we learned how to do these things, maybe we, you know, we could buy a 60-acre ranch in Kansas and dictate to our minions. If we only focused on one thing, and Davi is always the Bitcoin charity guy, and Ben Stone is always the, I don't even know what I'm famous for or not famous for, or whatever, but. You know, maybe that's the path.
Jericho,
I don't know. That's it. Yeah.
Just keep beating that dead horse.
I'll just do 900 episodes of Bad Quaker again, every single one of them about the origin of the state.
Now, that's that expression, right? You can beat a dead horse, but you can't lead it to water.
Yeah. you can drag a dead horse to water, but you can't drown it because it's already dead. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like everybody's looking for their dead horse to beat, but that's all right.
I get pretty often I get a request to tell me, you know, somebody saying tell me again what the difference between state and government is, and I want to just point at Bad Quaker and say it's there, go find it. But
episode 42, go find it.
Yeah. But even that, I've said it, you know, spread out over 300 episodes, and I didn't necessarily do one episode just focusing on that. So it's kind of, I don't know, I tried to get bigger concepts and you know, put them over time and not just beat up one thing.
Yeah, I stopped doing the interfaith libertarian panels, too. Like, I'm not interested in being the token libertarian Muslim or a token anarchist Muslim at these panels. Not that there's anything wrong with doing them. I, you know, all the people that are on these panels, I respect. It's just, it's not what I want to be known for.
Right.
Or I don't know that I want to be known for anything. Like, I just want to keep myself entertained.
You know, I think that's a big part of it, though. We are not doing this to build our own individual empire. You do many things for a living, you know, you sell stuff and you do these different things for a living, but you're not trying to sell the product of Davi, the, you know, the Muslim Liberty Bitcoin charity dude, because yeah, all of your efforts are not focused on that one thing. I don't know, maybe more focused branding. You know, everybody knows what you get at McDonald's. You're always going to get that at McDonald's. Everybody knows what you're going to get, you know, from Sears or whatever.
They know what they get, but they don't necessarily know what it is.
I used to have a friend that talked about fast food in general, and he said that behind the counter at every fast food place, it looks like they're making food, but really they just have this big machine, and it has pictures on it. And you want a hamburger, you hit that button, it spits out a hamburger. You want french fries, hit that button, it spits out french fries. You need a box, hit that button, it spits out a box. It's all the same ingredients. It's just, it just prints them out differently.
And I mean, it's going to get to that point.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty close. Food 3D printers. It's a thing.
Yeah. Worms. We're going to 3D print radio shows, Ben.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that when we get back, I guess. Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Freedom Fiends. Radio. So,
how's it going, Ben?
Hey. So we want to try to end this in a positive thing. We were talking in the break about kind of the negative aspects of government. We began talking about the origin of the state and how so many people believe the government's basic story of the origin of state, the Hobbesian model. And then during the break, Davi and I were talking about, you know, the possible end of the state. Is there examples? Like, we can see states being born, and we know how they come into existence, and it's always through violence and coup and takeover and robbery and murder and genocide. But do we have examples of the state dying? And kind of an example that Davi brought up was, you know, like, you know, when Nazi Germany died.
Operation Paperclip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
go ahead.
We got to backtrack a little. This kind of plays into your distinction between the government and the state. We've definitely seen governments collapse and governments sort of end. But the problem is that when that happens, all the people are still carrying a state around in their head. And so they either form the next state or they glom onto a neighboring state. And so the example, or the neighboring state absorbs them, right? Like it takes all the people shoving beans up their nose and hires them to be bean counters. So the example is Operation Paperclip, right? So like I guess Germany still exists, but you know, the Weimar Republic doesn't exist. Like, that government went away. But that state didn't go away. That state, the humans holding that idea in their mind were absorbed by the U.S. government. All the sort of top brass of the Nazi party were sort of hired by the CIA to come over here and be our top brass.
Or the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Or the Soviet Union or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so that...
So we have examples of governments going away, usually in, you know, fantastic catastrophes and collapses, but we don't have a lot of examples of states going away, at least not in mass, maybe at the individual level, but... There are no liberated territories I can think of.
And the reason that is because we have these two things that I'm not really, when I use state and government in this context, I'm not really using the words correctly. This is not actually the true meaning of these words. It's my way of taking two words, hitting them over the head, dragging them into an alley, going through their pockets and coming up with new meanings for them. So,
sure.
My thought in that, just to go over it for the 10 millionth time, is that the government, I think of the government as all these different people who wear uniforms and they tax people and they drive around and see what you're, you know, if you're complying, if your lemonade stand has the correct paperwork and if you paid all your, you know, fees and if your milk has come from an acceptable source and it didn't pass across the state border without, you know, that's the government. Those guys that do all that stuff, those people at the DMV, the people that carve presidents' heads in the sides of mountains and then charge you money to look at it, and all those people like that and all that stuff that they own is the government, all the Jeeps that they drive around in or Humvees or whatever. But the state is a mental condition in your mind that makes you think that all that stuff is something real. That makes you, that lends legitimacy in your mind, and it actually is a form of a religion. The state is a religious belief that those things have some kind of authority and they have to be respected. It's the thing that you hear people say, well, I don't agree with the president, but I have to respect his office. No, you don't. I don't have the slightest bit of respect for his office. I don't care who the clown is that's up there. And so that's the distinction. And you can kill. And so many times, libertarians in the United States and ANCAP specifically have this idea that if the dollar collapses, then the thing that comes out of that is going to be so great. Except they don't understand that if the dollar collapses, which it's done a dozen times or more, if the dollar collapses, it won't change the fact that the state exists in 350 million people's minds, and they'll just recreate it again. That's not very positive, Davi.
No, I guess the only thing positive you can take from that is if you want to fight the state, stop going to the government and start going to the mind.
Yeah. The answer's in the brain. Free your mind, and your government will follow.
That's been a good show, Ben.
It has. Thanks a lot, Divi. It's good talking to you again.
For sure. Worms.
Worms.